This is an interview with Dino Piovesan, recorded on the 23rd of September 2011 at his home in Lockleys, South Australia. It's recorded by Madeline Regan for the Italian Market Gardeners Project. Dino, could you start by telling me your full name?
Well, my name is Dino Luigi Piovesan.
And when were you born?
I was born on the 14th of September 1936.
And where were you born?
Here in Adelaide, in Chatham Road, Keswick, a small private hospital in Keswick.
And was there a significance of your names?
Not really, no, not that I recall.
And your parents, can you give me their full names and their dates of birth, if you know them?
Mother's name was Anna Rosalia Zanata, but I'm afraid I don't know her date of birth. And my father's name was Angelo Sante Piovesan, and I don't know his date of birth either.
Thank you. Where were your parents born?
Both Mum and Dad were born in Ponzano in Italy. Ponzano is a small village not far from Treviso, about 4 or 5 kilometres out of Treviso. Treviso, in turn, is about 30 kilometres or so inland from Venice.
And you have two siblings?
My older brother, Nilo, unfortunately passed away only just recently, and my younger brother, Bruno.
And where were you in the family?
I'm in the middle.
Right. And I think your brothers were quite close in age.
Definitely close in age, yes. There's only about 15 months difference between my older brother and myself, and about another 17 months difference between myself and my younger brother.
Right. And what about the name of your wife, and when did you marry?
Mary is my second wife. Unfortunately, Glenys, my first wife, ended in divorce. And Mary's first husband died quite tragically of a heart attack some 26 years ago, in about 1981. And Mary and I have been married 25 years.
And you have children?
I have two children from my first marriage. Mary has 5 children from hers, and we all get along as one nice, happy family. That's very, very much so.
Thank you. Thanks, Dino. We're now going to talk about your family heritage. But first of all, you might just give the information about your parents coming to Australia.
My father came in 1927 on his own, and my mother followed later. But my father and mother were married by proxy. Mother was still in Italy, and Dad was out here, and they married by proxy. Mother came out in 1934.
So 7 years after your father was here.
Yes.
Yeah. And going back to, say, your mother's family, do you know much about your mother's family?
Not a great deal, just that she also came from Ponzano, from a very fairly large family, poverty. Stricken, and quite happy to come to Australia to marry Dad. Apart from that, there's not a great deal that comes to mind at the moment. She had two brothers, Uncle... Oh, gee whiz, I've even forgotten their names now. Three brothers, but Mum was, I think, the last in the family, as I recall.
And did either of the brothers come to Australia?
No, none of the brothers ever came to Australia. I've been over there a couple of times and visited them while they were all still alive, and it was just great to see all of them. especially the uncle Anselmo, who was a carabiniere in Rome for many years. He had a lot of stories to tell, and I greatly enjoyed them.
So he was a policeman?
A policeman in Rome, yes, for many years. When I eventually went to see him, this was in 81, he had already retired and had, as I said, had a lot of stories to tell, and I listened intently.
And what about your father's family? Do you know about them?
Father's family is a fairly large family. He had a brother out here, Attilio, and
was he out here before your father came?
No, after, 2 or 3 years after. Another brother went to Venezuela, in Caracas, in Venezuela. He's an older one. And another one remained in Italy, Giuseppe. So father out here was basically on his own for a while. And sadly, he passed away in 1949 as well. After he passed away, mother had the three of us. We were three young children, and Dad's brother, Uncle Attilio, decided to come and help out with the family business in the market garden. And he carried on until basically I was a teenager and my older brother were teenagers, and we were somehow able to carry on on our own with a lot of help from the neighbours.
And we'll talk about the market gardening a little later, but just going back to your parents, did they tell you, or for example, your father, did he tell you why he came to Australia, or did you know why?
All we knew is that even my mother, my father firstly, was much poverty in Italy. And the trend was for the young ones to go overseas. An uncle went to Belgium, Uncle Mario, one of Dad's brothers, went to Belgium. Another one went to Venezuela, and Dad and his other brother, Attilio, came here. But it was the fact that it was a lot of poverty in Italy. And I can always remember my mother saying that they used to have polenta and figs for lunch because there was nothing else to eat when things were that bad.
And in your father's family, all of those brothers going to different places, I wonder what that was like for the parents.
Well, in some ways, the parents knew that if they were successful overseas, they would possibly benefit by them sending home a little bit of money for sustenance. And that is what my father, I remember, and my uncle especially, not constantly sending money, but doing their best to help them back home. The parcels that my mother used to make, coffee, old clothes that my father wouldn't wear, she would send them home by surface mail. It took about 3 months to get there, but they were greatly appreciated when they got there.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is, because we here took too many things for granted, even back then. And my mother was so appreciative because she knew that when she was sending those clothes and things back home, that they would be very much appreciated there. I can understand. I quite remember that.
So you remember that from being a young boy?
Oh, yes, definitely.
And do you remember either of your parents telling you about growing up and what it was like?
No, not so much their teenage years. Just that there was a lot of hard work, and the wheat crops in the fields had to be harvested with a scythe, and that was hard work. I remember Dad saying that, not mechanically harvested in any way whatsoever, all cut by hand.
So would both of your parents have come from farming backgrounds?
Definitely. Yes, the family ground, whatever hectares it may have been, was simply for family sustenance from one year to the next.
And that's all the kind of income that was coming into the family?
Correct, Correct. I remember them saying that if they were lucky and they had one or two or three cows in the stable, a cow would have had a calf and that would have been sold and that would have been a little bit of extra money for the family. But other than that, it was for the family sustenance from one year to the other, with wheat and maize and of course the grapes and the wine.
So when your mother came, she obviously kept in touch with her family and your father kept in touch with his family?
Oh yes, I remember very clearly as about a 10-year-old doing my best to try and write a few words in Italian to grandma and grandfather back home. And I clearly remember that in the typical writing that a 10 or 11-year-old would write to grandparents back there.
And whose parents were they? Your mother's or your father's?
Both, yes.
Both. As you were growing up, did you speak Italian at home?
Oh, yes, but it was mainly the dialect, the Treviso dialect, the Northern Italian dialect. And strange that you should mention that, because I speak the dialect far better than I speak the Italian language.
Even, it's like your first language,
it's
really.
My first language, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
We're going to talk about your childhood now, and there's a question. Do you have any first memories growing up?
Well, in the early years growing up, we would come home from school and there was no such thing as doing your homework straight after you got home, especially in the summer months. It would be our job as kids to carry out the prunings, the leaves of what Mum and Dad had pruned in the glasshouses. And once my older brother and I, because my younger brother was still a bit too young to do that, my older brother Nillo and myself would be the ones to carry out the leaves, and eventually it was only after tea, as we call it, or after dinner, as they say now, that we would have time to do our homework.
So working in the garden was important?
Was important, yes.
Can you tell me where you grew up?
I grew up initially in between Findon Road and Frogmore Road. That was up until I was about 12 to 13. Then we bought the property on Frogmore Road, and I believe it is still number 24 Frogmore Road, which is where my teenage years were spent.
What did you call the suburb at that time?
It was still Findon. Kidman Park came into existence, at a guess, when I was about 12 or 13 years old, but there was no such thing as Kidman Park then. It was all Findon or St. James Park at the time.
And what do you remember about your first home?
The first home was virtually shared with the Tonelatos next door. I can clearly remember some say it was an old cow shed which was transformed into living quarters, but I can't remember that correctly. But all I can do remember is one dividing wall, brick wall, between ourselves and the Tonelatos. We were on one side and the Tonelatos were on the other, and we were just one happy family.
And when you say there was just one dividing wall, what was your part of the house like?
Well, that was the kitchen, and shall we say, not a lounge, but a larger room for eating. Then there was the bedroom further to the north. And then as we three boys grew up, Dad built another room onto the existing sheds that were there. But it was only very primitive accommodation. Electricity, yes, and running water and so forth, but not much more, unfortunately.
And was there a stove in the house, or was it separate?
There was a wooden stove, yeah. Mum only had a wooden stove. And I can always remember the first refrigerator that Dad bought, a Wallace refrigerator, second hand, it wasn't new, a Wallace refrigerator, and I would have been about 13 years old, and Mum thought it was heaven.
And was that an electric fridge?
An electric fridge, yes.
Or we run by electricity.
Yeah, yes, yeah. But the compartment in the fridge was taken up more by the motor and the compressor down below rather than the food storage compartment up higher.
And what would you have done prior to having the fridge? Just kept things cool as much as you could?
The ice chest. It was a great thing in those days. The ice man would come, I don't know, every 2 or 3 days, and he would come in and put a big block of ice in the ice chest. And that somehow kept things reasonably cool, provided it didn't get too hot.
And what about surrounding the house? Can you tell me what was around the house?
Well, on our front door, let's call it the front door, there was a courtyard, fairly big courtyard, that we as kids used to kick a football to and from and play cricket. But on the other side of the courtyard, there was the Tonelado's railway wagon, which was their sleeping quarters. All of the Tonelado family slept in the railway wagon. But with the big courtyard in between, it was always a place to play cricket or football.
And was that surface?
Gravel surface, only gravel surface. Very well compacted, as I recall. But only gravel surface.
And what else, you know, if you were looking at that house, what else would you have noticed at that time when you were growing up there?
Just a small veranda in front of the front door and nothing that would stand out. Nothing really.
No trees?
No, a bamboo hedge behind the railway carriage, which was the sleeping quarters for the Tonelatos, a big bamboo hedge.
And was that a windbreak or was it privacy?
No, that was a windbreak and also a boundary for the next door neighbour who was named Jack Barnett or John Barnett. In those days, anybody with the name of John was automatically called Jack, so he was Jack Barnett, the neighbour, and the railway carriage was right on the border of the two properties.
And do you remember what Jack Barnett grew?
Same as us, basically potatoes and cauliflowers and cabbages, as I recall, mainly. Next on the other side of the bamboo hedge.
And going back to your family and growing up, you spoke a little about your responsibility in the glass houses. What were your other jobs as a child growing up?
It was only when I got to about 18, 19 that my uncle Attilio, when he came there to take over the property and help us out, that he wanted to get into the trucking business. And it was then that he wanted to set us up and try and explore the trucking business through a tip truck. He lent me the money, or lent Mum the money, to buy a tip truck so that he could virtually explore the business for his self-interest, which was not a selfish act on his part, none whatsoever, because he did help us out a lot. There's no question about that. And I did do a little bit of truck driving back in those days as well.
Right. And as you were growing up, were there also things that you had to do inside the house as a child, or was your job mainly outside?
We as kids grew up with Mother doing everything for us. I can always remember that when I was going out to and dance or somewhere, my clothes were always laid out on the bed, my shoes were always shined, and Mother did it all.
So you were, you know, fortunate in that way. What happened in your family, and we'll talk about the market gardens later, but what happened in your family on weekends?
Weekends were the Sunday, always look forward to the Sunday, Sunday morning Mass, of course, as kids.
And where did you go to Mass?
Captain Cook Avenue, Captain Cook Avenue at Flinders Park.
And was that an Italian Mass?
No, it was Australian. Back then, everything was still in English. It's only in the later years that, yes, with a greater influx of Italians into Australia or Adelaide, that we had more Italian masses. But back then, it was still all English.
So your parents were quite religious?
Yes and no. Mum, definitely. But Dad, always on the fringes. Dad remained on the fringes. And that was Dad.
And did he still go with you on the Sunday to Mass?
Occasionally, but not as much as Mum.
And if you went to Mass just with your mum, how would you have got there?
Basically, we would ride our push bikes.
And your mum too?
Mum would ride her push bike as well. Yes, our push bikes to Mass from Findon Road. We were still living on Findon Road then.
Oh. And what do you remember after Mass that you did?
Whoever might come around as visiting, we would certainly, some families might have come around, and we would, with the kids or children there, same age as ours, and we would definitely get into games of some sort from then.
And were these local families who were living, you know, in the same area?
Yes, nearly always, yes. Because although we knew other Italian friends from further afield, like Marion, and possibly in the city, it was mainly those that lived around us there.
And can you tell me the names of these families?
Oh, Johnny Macchiaro and his brother Romano, Frankie Balistran, and his sister Santina, Lino Balistran, his cousin, was more my age. And Guido Rebuli was another one. And there were others there as well.
So people living quite close.
Yeah.
And your parents would have known their parents?
Oh, yes, most definitely. I mentioned the Tonelatos earlier, and they were a big family too. But even the youngest ones, the youngest two or three, were still 5 to 6 years older than us. So they had their own separate group of friends.
And what would your parents have done as social life?
What I clearly remember is the evenings that people would come around to see us of an evening. I do recall sometimes, and by then we had a truck, an old Bedford truck, that we would also go around to other people's homes. But it seemed as though Dad attracted everybody. He had friends everywhere, and they would come to our place, and Mum would make the coffee, and we would all have a good fun, even us kids.
And when you say that your dad attracted people, what was his personality like?
He was very much a fun-loving man. I don't know whether I should say this, but he always liked to get people drunk. He always liked to give them a little bit extra wine and perhaps something else. And he was just that fun-loving man that once they got a little bit going, he would relish in it all. And he was just very much a fun-loving guy.
And how old was he when he died?
Dad was 42 years old when he died.
Very young.
Yes.
And how old were you, Dino?
I was 13 and going to school at Maris Brothers, and he died in March of 1949, and I knew that at that end of that year I would have had to stay home with my uncle, who came to look after the market garden, and that was my life essentially cut out for me there from that point on. I always wanted to be a motor mechanic. And if Dad still had been around, he may have steered me towards taking over the garden. But I always wanted to be a motor mechanic, but that never eventuated.
And what made you interested in that?
Oh, I think it's the typical child interested in machinery, and I'll always remember the Bedford truck that we had. I'd do my best in changing the oil, in changing the filter, or doing something to it which was of interest to me. And just a child's interested in mechanical things.
That's interesting. And going back to your dad, I understand that your dad also had been in the Northern Territory. Can you tell me a little about that?
Dad went up into the mica mines for a short time to get some money, to earn a little bit better living, because the market garden was only just set up and wasn't producing much income.
Would he have gone before he was married to your mother, or after?
Before he was married, he worked in road making at around Karoonda way, Karoonda, Lamaru, out that way. And he was employed by Mr. Bernardi, I believe. And that was 2 or 3 or 4 years or more that Dad worked on in road making. But then he did go up to the Northern Territory, I believe in Tennant Creek, into the Spotted Tiger mine, I believe. And he was there for a short while as well, earning extra money.
And do you know much about the mica mines and the life there?
Not as far as Dad's side of it is concerned. It was later, when Dad's brother came and looked after the market garden, that he had interest in the Last Chance mine just east of Alice Springs. And I remember having to write the addresses on the envelopes that they would write to their friends up at the Last Chance mine. And I remember clearly that we had to go to Freeman Motors to buy a part for the Bedford truck that was up there that had broken down. And with the telegram in my hand, we went to Freeman Motors, and they knew exactly what we wanted, and they sent the part up to Alice Springs.
There's your mechanics interest.
There you go.
Yeah. And who were the friends up there?
Uncle's relations and other close Italian friends who simply got together to work the Last Chance mine. One was Attilio Crespin, and Augusto Matiazzo was a later one that went up there. Leandro Bortoletto was another one that went up there. Silvio Bandiera was also one that spent time there. And I can't quite remember too many others, but there were others as well.
And were they all Veneti?
Yes, they were all Veneti. We seemed to all, Uncle and Dad, all seemed to cling together. Even though I must say that with the Northern Italians and the Southern Italians, there's always that little bit of a rift between them. But back in those days, they were the best of friends. I can clearly recall that the Calabresi from down south and the Veneti from up north were the best of friends. They didn't have too many people friends out here, and Dad didn't have too many people here, friends here, so they were always the best of friends.
Do you think that as a child growing up, that you had a sense of where your parents came from?
Only a superficial sense of where they came from. And this is going back to when I said earlier about writing the letters back. I tried to picture in my mind the surroundings that they may have been in. When they used to speak of their evenings there, the winter evenings, the bitter winter evenings, that they would all go to the stable where the cows are, because that's where they would feel the warmth of the cows. And I couldn't quite get my mind around that, because here we are in a nice home, possibly heated or whatever, but the concept of going into a cow shed to stay warm, I could not get my mind around that.
That's interesting, isn't it? Like a child trying to think of that. That question about, you know, if you had a sense of where you came from, you know, the people that you grew up with on Frogmore Road, you would have known that they, or did you know that they came from the same sort of area that your parents came from?
Very much so, very much so. And they also experienced poverty as well. Frank Ballaston's dad and one of his uncles, I think, all were in the very much the same situation, poverty-wise.
And Dino, when did you move from the other side of the eastern side of Frogmore Road to the western side?
We moved there after Dad died. A lot of friends that knew Dad came to help us build a house on Frogmore Road, and that was about 2 to 3 years after Dad died, and that was when Mum built the house built on Frogmore Road. But it was all done mainly by voluntary labour, a lot of it by voluntary labour, and on weekends only.
And when would that have been? What sort of year do you think?
1951, 1952.
And the land that you had been living on, and that you had your parents had the glass houses on the eastern side of Frogmore Road, who owned that land?
That was owned by Mrs. Bush at the time, Mrs. Bush, because when the existing landowners eventually bought there, where Dad declined to buy there in preference to going to what is now Kidman Park on Frogmore Road, the name Mrs. Bush was constantly mentioned, and I feel that, you know, they bought from this Mrs. Bush.
The first house was on a leased land.
Yes.
And then when you moved across to Frogmore Road West.
Yes.
It was land that was bought.
We bought that land, yes. And that's where Mum eventually built the family home after Dad died.
Right. And just going back, a couple of questions about your childhood, and then we'll talk about going to school. What sort of games did you play with your friends?
Alleys, which is marbles. Well, the marbles was the big thing then. If you had a nice shiny bottler or a cat's eyes, they were treasured marbles, and you really took care of them. And you didn't play too many games where it was a sudden death playoff and you lost some. You did not do that.
So you're careful.
We played friendly games with the marbles. And, of course, the football. If we were lucky enough to get a football from somewhere, I'll never forget. The first football that I ever owned was when I was going to Maris Brothers. There was a raffle for those who sold the most tickets. There was a football offering, a free football by Brother Beckett, to the person who sold the most raffle tickets. And fortunately, I happened to be the one that got that football. And that was a prized possession.
How old would you have been then?
13.
So you remember it very well.
Oh, yes, yeah. Definitely.
And do you remember other things that you would have done as a child? Do you remember having activities away from Frogmore Road with the family?
No. In those days, we didn't venture very far. There was no such thing as the weekend excursion or sleeping overnight somewhere else just for the sake of going away. No, that was all out at the time.
And why was that?
The money side of things, it cost the petrol would cost a lot to get us to wherever that may have been, say 100 kilometres away or 100 miles away to the Riverland, to the Loxton or somewhere like that. No, those trips were never mentioned. Although I do remember one, and this took place when Dad was still alive, and it was in Johnny Marcaro's father's truck. And a truck, Dad was driving because Mr. Vittorio Marcaro didn't like to go through the hills. And Dad drove the truck up through Mount Lofty, up through to Talem Bend. And there was about another dozen of us in on the back of the truck, and we did spend the day at Tailem Bend. Got away early in the morning, very early in the morning, and we went to Mr. Briong's home, Nochizo Briong's home, at Jervois, which is just this side of Tailem Bend, I believe. And a nice day had by all, definitely.
And what would Narciso Brion have been doing at Jervois?
He was a dairy farmer. And along there, there were a lot of, not a lot of other, but several other Veneti from the Veneto region. I can't remember their names. But anyway, they were dairy farmers as well. And they would sell their milk to the Jervois Cooperative Milk Factory, which was in Jervois, and they would make cheese mainly and supply milk to Amscoles, I believe, at the time.
And what about other things in your family? Did you ever go to the beach?
Oh, yes, very much so. Henley Beach, and that's where Mum liked to go, because in the very hot weather, Dad would drive us down in the Bedford truck, and Mum would simply sit under the jetty, and we kids would do our thing as much as we could in the sand and the surf.
And you'd stay there for a long time?
Oh, yes. Dad would pick us up later in the day. Much the later the better on the very hot days. And I can remember Mum saying, stay under the jetty, away from the sun or you'll get sunburned. And many a times I can remember geting severely sunburned and suffering for it.
And were there other families there at the time?
Yes. Mrs. Tonelada, I can remember her coming there occasionally as well. Mrs. Ballastron, Frank Ballastron's mother, would also be there. And there was another, Maria Ballastron. There was three or four families that met there on the very hot days.
And going back to your family, I'm just wondering, did you have any animals that were part of the household, life?
Nigger. He was a little black fox terrier. And Nigger, I can clearly remember him. He was a good little dog, a little fox terrier, and we had him for quite a few years. But no other cats. Oh, we had Mary. She was the cow, the Jersey cow. And it was my brother's job and myself, Nilo on one side of Mary and me on the other side, to milk the cow of a night time. Clearly remember that, the Jersey cow.
And what was the milk used for in your family?
Only for drinking. It never made cheese or butter or anything like that at all. Nothing like that at all. Then we had the draft horse, Jack. He was a good draft horse, in front of the plough. He was a very good, strong horse. Jack eventually died of colic and was taken away by the abattoirs. And I'm trying to think of the next one that we bought and that Dad bought, and I just cannot remember the horse's name.
Horses would have been important.
Very much so. They did the hard work in pulling the scarifier through the potatoes and the beans and the various crops that we had outside. In the glasshouses, everything was done manually, as in fork digging and so on. But outside, the horse was a very valuable asset.
And a few more questions about your growing up. How were birthdays celebrated in your family?
They came and went. Simply because, again, the money side of things. All right, I can remember. I must have been 13 years old. And my older brother got a watch, or a gold watch was the in thing in that, when he was confirmed. And I must have put on such a big turn that my mother said to me, I'll buy you one on your birthday. And I've still got that watch now. I've had it repaired and looked after. It still winds up. It still keeps time. And that's my treasured possession.
How beautiful. You must have felt very pleased.
Very pleased indeed.
And what about Holy Communion and confirmations?
Yes. Well, they were a big thing in those days, Holy Communion and confirmation. And my sponsor was Gino Berno, and then the Matiazzos from the city, and the Stoccos from the city. And they were compare and comare, which means sponsors in Italian. Now, whether my father and mother sponsored their kids or they sponsored us, there was always, everybody was a compare and comare, because of, for one reason or another.
Can you explain the importance of that relationship?
As far as the Italian community is concerned, that is a very important relationship, because if you ask someone to be a compare for you, a sponsor for your child, that person, that family has special significance after that, and they remain friends forever, shall we say. And there was not so much of a bond, but a special relationship between those who were compare and comare for one reason or another.
So did you have three sets of sponsors? You had the Stocco, the
Berno
and
Matiazzo, yeah. Emilio Matiazzo, who had a butcher shop in Curry Street on the corner of Grey Street and Curry Street.
And were they sponsors just for you or for your brothers as well?
I cannot remember exactly who they were sponsors for, but Mr. Matiazzo had two children my age or my brother's ages, and therefore they would have countermanded one and the other to be sponsors for one and the other. But I can't remember precisely who was my sponsor, although I knew that when I was confirmed, Gino Berno was my sponsor. Because by then was my santolo. There's another word that comes into it. He was my santolo. And every time you saw him, you would address him as santolo, because he was somebody special.
And santolo, what would be?
Santolo Gino.
And what's the equivalent in English?
Gee whiz.
Is it Godfather?
Godfather, yes, definitely. Santolo. Yes. But, in English, you don't say, oh, Godfather Gino and Godfather this. You know, you just don't say that. But then the word Santolo meant more than the name itself. He was a person to be respected, the Santolo.
And a special relationship for you.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And would you have received gifts from him, or was it more like, just knowing that
no,
he was special?
No. At the time I was confirmed, I would have received a gift from him, yes. Mm. Can't remember what it was at this point in time, but, there were gifts in those special occasions like that.
And do you remember your first Holy Communion?
Not precisely. No, I can't.
At confirmation?
Yes, because we were told that when we get to go to St. Patrick's Church, the bishop smacks us on the face, and I want this is the elders getting to us to try and say, oh yes, you'll go to church, and when you get confirmed, the bishop will smack you on the face with two fingers. And we, of course, when we got there, it was just a mere gentle tap on the side of the face. I can definitely remember that one, my confirmation.
And would you have had a party?
No, just to get together with our sponsors and a little bit of beer and wine, but nothing extravagant in any way, no.
You would have had new clothes?
Oh yes, definitely a new suit. Oh, melange was the go in those days, a melange suit.
And was that made specially for you?
No, Mum would have bought that from John Martin's. I used to go shopping with Mum to John Martin's in those days mainly, and she would have bought it off. But Mum was always a good sewer. If anything needed altering, she would have altered it.
And what about shopping? How did your family manage food and things like that? Was there shops or?
Well, Mum always used to say, jokingly, you don't need to speak English to spend money. All you need is money. And that was Mum's way of looking at it. But We would occasionally go with her and s occasionally stay home from school when she had to do some shopping in John Martin's or Myer's or things like that. That was clothing shopping, shoes, and they were a big thing for us as well. But as far as groceries were concerned, it was Mr. and Mrs. Rossetto in, again, on the corner of Grey Street and Hindley Street, who had a grocery store there, who used to deliver out to Lockleys. And this was, I can only barely remember Mr. Rossetto, who then died. And Oscar Matiazzo then took over from his uncle and auntie, and he would have been the one that delivered the groceries to us.
And that would have been how your parents got the dry foods
The
and
dry foods and that, but the meat and that, Dad used to go to the East End Market to sell the produce. That was at the very end of Curry Street and Grenfell Street. And on his way home, he would stop at Matiazzo's, the butcher's, to buy the meat.
so busy life for your parents.
Oh yes, very much so.
Dino, we're going to talk about you going to school. When would you have started school?
I started school when I was 5 years old, and I very clearly can remember my first day at school, very clearly. I cried, or I must have cried, because we went with Rosina Santon, who was still Rosina Tonelato and not married. She went to school there after having come out to Australia as a teenager. So she went to school to Underdale Primary, which later became Flinders Park Primary. But in those days, it was still called Underdale Primary. And Rosina took us there, myself and my older brother. I think we both went together. And yes, we were left there all alone, shall we say, for the first day at school. I clearly remember that one.
So would Nilo have had the first day with you, or would he have gone earlier?
That's a bit of a blur. Being older than me, I think he would have started earlier, yes, because I can't quite remember him being too much around me at the mom my first day.
And how would you have got there?
Dad would have taken us there in the truck the first time. And in other times as well, Dad would have taken us in the truck, or someone would have donkeyed us on the crossbar of the bicycle. And after that, we had our own bicycles.
Because it would have been a considerable distance.
Yes, from Findon Road to Holbrooks Road essentially is, I don't know, 2 kilometres, 3 kilometres, something like that.
And what did you think about school, after the first day?
Miss O'Connell, she was a good teacher, very strict teacher. But I'll always remember she used to drive her Model T Ford to school, or her Model A, I'm not sure. But we were kids and playing in the schoolyard, and we could see Miss O'Connell coming, and we would all scatter because she would come in reasonably fast, but she knew that we kids would scatter, and she had her parking spot by the wall, by the school, every time. She was a woman of discipline, and that's what she did every day.
How old would she have been, do you think?
Oh, well, the kids, our kids' perception is totally different. To us, she was an old woman. She was probably about 38 or 40. But to us kids, she was an older woman.
And what other things do you remember about your primary school years?
Mr. Marder was a very good teacher. Mr. Marder taught us eventually, or Mr. I'll go back to Mr. McAvenna and Miss Tonkin. Miss Tonkin in grade 2 and 3, and then Mr. McAvenna was the music teacher. He was great. Eventually we got into grade 6, and Mr. Marder lived on Holbrooks Road up near Henley Beach Road. And 1 year he knew that my father grew tomatoes, and he asked me if I would ask Dad if he could take him some tomatoes for sauce at the end of the year in December when the crop was finished. And I said to Dad, he said, yes, no problems. When we went there, I can remember Dad took him about 24 60 kilos of ripe tomatoes. Mr. Martin must have given sauce tomatoes to all his neighbours in the street.
Was that an Italian name?
No, Marder is German. Wilf Marder. And he only died about 5 or 6 years ago, and I used to call on him quite regularly. He lived on Holbrooks Road. And he used to ride his push bike to school. And it's only in later years that he bought himself a car and his wife passed away. And we used to have a good chat. And this is going back, only about 10 years ago, something like that.
And it's interesting that you kept in touch with him.
Mr. Marder. Yeah.
Did he have an influence on you?
No, only because I remember that episode of the sauce tomatoes. Yes, and he was our leatherwork teacher. And when he saw that my father brought him all those tomatoes, he said, "Dino, whenever you want leather, come and see me for all your leather work and you can have it for nothing." I remember that.
So you were taught leather work at school?
Leather work by Wilf Marder, yeah.
And what did you make when you worked with leather?
A wallet, a belt, simple things, very simple things where you would use a punch to punch the holes, and then what we call thonging, similar to a very thin wire, you would thread it through the holes and you would make a wallet or a purse, a single-sided, two-sided purse, or just simple things, very simple things.
And music, what kind of music did you learn?
Nothing at all. No, very briefly, my younger brother Bruno's piano accordion, but no, that would not come into it. No, I was never really that musically minded.
But at school you were taught music?
Yes, definitely.
And what were you taught?
The fife. I'm forgetting. My younger brother and myself learnt the fife, and we were in the fife band. And one year we had to go to Kapunda, I think it was, on a school excursion. There were other schools involved, and it was a competition. And Underdale School, our primary school, had a place in the competition, and unfortunately we didn't get a prize. But we did go to Kapunda in the fife band.
And that would have been a big trip in those days.
In those days, Mr. Jarman, forget his first name, but he had another similar truck and he lived not very far from the school. And again, everybody on the back of the truck, about 20 or 30 people on the back of the truck, sitting on whatever they could on the back of the truck. My mother came and Mr. and Mrs. Nunn, my mother didn't know where to go or what to do. And we kids were in the band and we could not tell Mum where to go. So Mrs. Nunn and Mr. Nunn looked after Mum the whole day and she was forever grateful, forever grateful.
That's lovely. Yeah. And Dino, going back to starting school, if you'd been speaking dialect at home, did you know any English?
Oh yes, because the next door neighbours, the Tonelatos, there was three there that had gone to school. They were 5 or 6 or 7 years older than us, and between us and them, it was always English. Never dialect. Only with Mum and Dad, it was always dialect. But with Nino and Nano, or Lino and Orlando, and Albert, it was always English. So as far as English is concerned, we had picked that up before we even went to school.
And do you think for your parents it was important that you had education?
Dad never really stressed that. I can't actually remember Dad stressing that you must go to school, you must get an education and this and that. Things were left more or less to just go with the flow in those years. And Mum, she never ever pressed education, because as far as they were concerned, it meant going to the city. The city was a long way away, extra money and so forth and so on, catching the tram, college uniforms and so on. And things were still pretty tight in those days.
And you finished year 7 at Underdale, and then?
And then I went to Mara's Brothers at Theberden. And my first year there was with Brother Donald. And, Brother Donald, and it was in Brother Donald's class that my dad died. That was in 1949. From there, I went on to Brother Beckett's class, which was second year. And that was when I knew that I was going to stay home in the garden. And I'll always remember that one time I was on my own. I'd turned 16. I had my driver's license. And I knew that the brothers, Brother Donald and all the brothers, lived in George Street, not very far from the school. And I was determined, I can't remember whether it was by design or by default, but I had a half case of tomatoes left over. And I knew that I was going to take it to the brothers. And it so happened that I knew where to go. And I walked in and Brother Beckett took it off me and his eyes glowed. And he said, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
So that seems like you would have had a good memory of being at school at the Maris Brothers.
Oh, yes, yes, very much so, yes. Never participated much in sport, although there were the sports days that we used to go away from Maris Brothers because there wasn't an oval there. But we used to go near the parklands where the circuses used to set up there, opposite Coca-Cola. And it was in there that we had our sports day.
And that seems like it's a good moment to finish this part of the interview.
Okay.
Thank you, Dino.